so we're going to save announcements to the end because I just feel like preaching. So, hey, just sit down in the anointing. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Shannon, hand me my stuff up there and some water, please. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'd stick around if I was you for second service and do that one more time. Praise God. I know you guys are all staying. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Jet, can you guys bring this down there? You can actually put it right here. Thank you. Amen. Catch my breath. Sweating with Jesus. You remember Richard Simmons? How many of you guys remember Richard Simmons? Remember that guy? When I was a kid, I used to turn that show on, and I was like, how is that guy famous? you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a different kind of guy to become famous, you know what I mean? And he had that license plate, why are you fat, you know? Too many carbs, that's why. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, wasn't that awesome? You never stop. You never stop. So we gotta do it enough that it gets in your spirit. So during the week when you're going through all your junk, you know, you understand how to praise God through it. You know, it's not faith if you see the answer. You understand? And the Bible says believe when you pray. Not when the answer comes. You know, faith comes by hearing. We're gonna study that today. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I want to say something. I find it deep in my spirit that I feel like the church, quite frankly, and I don't mean this church, but I mean the church in general, is really struggling to hear. Amen. Because there's been so much more provided than that we're walking in. When you really start to study what the scriptures say in the word of God, I got a little bit of a ring. I don't know if you can fix that or not, but thank you. When you really study what the scriptures have promised based on the atonement and the justice that God walks in and the fact that he would not be able to sit on his throne and without being just, okay? And then you understand his justice and you understand legalities and the fact that the blood of Jesus, that it opened the door to a perpetual jubilee. That jubilee means joy. It's the shouting of joy. It's the jubilation that comes with the freedom. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I've come to let the oppressed go free. You understand? How did that happen? It happened on the Day of Atonement. And he even healed people and forgave people looking forward to the atonement. It said in the book of Matthew, when he healed them all, this he did according to the prophet Isaiah, that he carried our sicknesses, our infirmities, our diseases, in fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, which is the atonement chapter, that they pierced my hands, you know, my feet, they pierced him, that by his wounds were healed, that he bore our transgressions, all the rest. You got to read Isaiah 53, written 700 years before Jesus was born, and describes in exact detail not only the crucifixion, but what the crucifixion purchased for us. So you understand that when Jesus, it said Jesus healed them all. Are you with me? Jesus healed them all. The year of Jubilee, it says that every man would be set free. Every man would have, you understand what I'm saying? So why did Jesus heal them all? Because if there was one left out, he's no longer just. Because the atonement is for every man. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, but here's what happens. Is we're like, God, please, 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 please. And we're asking God to do something that he's already done. But our faith is not developed in that area because we have not put the word in us like a seed and let it grow to the point that faith comes. Yes. And so therefore, instead of patience, we have panic. Amen. You hear me? Instead of patience, we have panic. So we find ourselves in something and we're begging for God's help and all the rest. But there's a process that God wants to take us through to bring freedom. And it's called faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And that which Jesus has purchased with us, the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, which allows us to develop the patience to wait for the fruit of the word to develop, which develops because of the atonement. Amen. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you start to understand these things and you meditate on the cross, it's one of the reasons for communion. Do this in remembrance of me. What have we done in the church? Do this in remembrance of you. So communion comes, and what do? We spend all our time thinking about, oh, I'm such a heel, I'm such a sinner, I'm so good, you know, I don't even know if I should be able to take, you know, and we're missing the whole point. It's not a time to meditate on you, it's a time to meditate on Him. He didn't say, do this in remembrance of you, He said, do this in remembrance of me. So communion is a time to remind you that the year of Jubilee never stops in the kingdom of God. That on the Day of Atonement, the perpetual Jubilee was shouted, you understand, when He died and shed His spotless, innocent blood so that we can be free, so that the oppressed may go free. Can you say amen? You understand? And so in all that stuff that Brother Brett was singing about, you know, you split the sea and walk right through, that's all a picture of that salvation. Coming out of Egypt as a type of sin, through the Red Sea, symbolic of baptism, and then the enemies coming after that are drowned in there. I watched a documentary recently. They found the place where they actually went through the Red Sea, and all the coral in that area actually formed around the wheels of the chariots. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's all there that you can see. They know the exact place that they crossed, and 1,600 chariots were completely enveloped, and it's a picture of when you come through salvation and through baptism, and you are called by a new name, and you are a new person in Christ, that old things have passed away, and all those enemies that try to chase you from your old life have been drowned in His perfect love. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? This needs to be your meditation, or else you're always saying, God, please, 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 please. And you know, here's what happened. God already took the first step, that when we were sinners, that He sent His Son, and now it's up to us to propagate the things that He purchased for us by faith. But faith only comes by hearing the Word of God, and it comes like a seed, and you have to be faithful to put the Word in your life. And the fact that we're not walking in more freedom is an indictment on the fact that we have not been faithful on our own part to steward over the Word of God. We have not valued it the way it needs to be valued. We've had other lovers and other things. Where David said, I cling to your testimonies. For us, we just feel like, oh, it's boring and I don't want to do it. And yet that is the way that you can propagate what the blood has purchased for you. That is the way that faith begins to come and develop and grow inside of you. And you begin to believe even though you can't see. Because His Word releases faith over time. And by the way, it doesn't take that much time.
Amen.
All right. I'm just preaching a little bit at you. We've been studying about how to bring chaos into order. If this is your first time here, you haven't been in a while, you probably don't know what this is, and you just need to get online and listen to former messages, but probably most of you do, and for the sake of time, I can't review it all, but we know that this means peace and order, okay? This means like void and heading towards chaos. This is chaos, and this means cultivate. We saw that God put Adam in the garden with the purpose of cultivating it and bringing it to a state of order. So often in our lives, we go from order to disorder, and we find ourselves reaping chaos.
Amen.
When we're in chaos, this is the time that the Holy Spirit... Oh, that worked.
Hovers.
Now, here's the name of our message, or the theme, if you will, okay? Give the Holy Spirit something to work with when He hovers.
Amen. Yeah.
Because let me just tell you something, okay? He would still be hovering if God hadn't spoke. When He spoke, the Spirit began to move.
Amen.
You understand? So sometimes we're in the midst of our chaos, and the Holy Spirit is there hovering over our situation, and we're going, God, please, 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 please. And God's like, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen, you cannot do this walk, this Christian walk, without the Word.
Amen.
Please understand what I'm saying. You will live defeated from defeat to defeat to defeat if the Word of God does not begin to have a preeminent place of value in your life. Please hear me. Victory, everything, every man go free, all oppression. You know, everything has been purchased in that blood, but you've got to renew your mind to that truth.
Amen.
I'm going to show you in the Scriptures. So the Holy Spirit begins to hover. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with, amen? Give me Genesis chapter 1 up here, and let me show you this in the Word, all right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth became without form and void is what it means, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering. And, go on, next verse. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So again, the Holy Spirit just hovers until the Holy Spirit has something to work with. And what is the Holy Spirit waiting for? The Word. Watch this. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, but faith is released out of your mouth. You understand? When you speak the words that God spoke, they are life. They are health to every area of your life. Amen? Now, Hebrews 6:10 verse 12 says this. God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love, which you've shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. That diligence, by the way, when I see diligence, I read it daily. To the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, or that literally means lazy. Watch this. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One more time. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now leave that up there. Okay? I don't know if you can underline that through faith and patience, but that'd be good. So here's what the Lord showed me. Most of the church reads this last part is that we inherit the promises of God through patience. That's how most people think about it, is I just have to be patient and I just have to wait on God. And if I wait on God, maybe eventually he might do something. But, you know, God's sovereign, and so we don't know. You understand what I'm saying? But what does it say? It says, no, the promises of God, which the Bible says are all, what? Yes and amen in Christ. Now, let me explain that. In Christ's atonement. That's what that means. You know, all the promises are yes and amen because of the atonement of the Christ. Because of the blood of Christ, everything's been made available. In fact, the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold. Old Testament. From those that walk uprightly. And the devil comes to you and he goes, you're not upright. You don't walk uprightly. You did this thing. You looked at this woman in the grocery store. You yelled at your kids. You're not uprightly. That promise doesn't apply to you. But you have to understand something. You are upright when you're under the blood. Amen. You understand? You have pleaded the blood and you have been found innocent. He that knew no sin became sin that you might become the righteousness of God. You need to meditate on what the scriptures say. And even in the midst of your struggles, you begin to say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. You start to claim who you are by faith. You understand? And so because of the atonement, all the promises are yes and amen. But the promises of God are all obtained. They all come from the place where you can't see them to the place where you can see them, not just through patience, but through faith. You understand? I'm making sense, right? Thank you. Okay. Now, look at this scripture. Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So watch this. Everybody look at me. If, teach it now. If all the promises of God are yes, but the only way to get them is through faith and patience, okay? And we're going to find that patience is actually a fruit that is developed as you're in faith, amen. Okay? Amen. So you if you don't have faith, you have panic. Amen. So faith and patience is a byproduct of faith. Because if you're in faith, you're not in a hurry to see the thing manifest because you're living in the place where you already see it in the Spirit. You with me? Okay, so here's the issue. So if all the promises are yes and amen, but they're only obtained through faith, and faith only comes by hearing by the word of God, if you don't have the word of God in your life, you will not obtain the promises that are promised by the blood. So the logical solution is, I need more of the word in my life. Does this make sense? Well, Pastor, I do. I come to church twice a month. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen. What did God say to Ezekiel? Eat this scroll. Amen. Because you will find when you eat it that it will be sweet. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Put the word of God in your bones. Amen. You begin to see things differently and live differently. Become a son and a daughter of faith when you are in the word. But you can't do this thing without the word. You're begging God. And the fruit is panic, not patience. Come on, you ever been there? I have. Come on. I've been there. In the panic. God says, get your eyes off this. Get your eyes on the word. The problem is, You don't just put the word in you and then the next day everything's good, because the word comes like a what? Seed. What did Jesus say? The sower sows the word. It's like a seed. And we're going to study Mark. I got it in here somewhere. Why don't you jump to that? Mark 4:26. Look at this. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately puts in the sickle. Let me explain this to you. This, you know what this is? This is the process of growth.
Amen.
You don't understand how your heart grows it? Just like the earth. You take the seed, you put it on the shelf for 2,000 years, it won't do anything. But if you put it in the dirt, if you put it in the ground, the outer shell, which represents the flesh, will die. And the life inside, what does the Bible say? The life is in the seed. You understand? Jesus was an example of that seed came down. You understand? Unless the seed died. You see all this stuff? Right? And then so what happens is, so the seed goes into the ground and the farmer goes to bed. He gets up. He goes to bed. He gets up. And he doesn't know how, but he knows that it's growing. Now, how ridiculous would it be if the farmer expected to go out and reap a harvest in the field and he had never actually sown the seed?
Amen.
And then he's out there in the field going, please, God, please, please give me watermelons. The market's coming. I need these watermelons. He's in a panic. I need these watermelons. And you know, if you're God, you're like, plant some seeds.
Amen.
You understand? There's things in the natural that we're supposed to look at so we'll be able to understand things in the spirit realm. And so many of us are trying to reap a harvest where we haven't sowed any seeds.
Amen.
So here, all the promises in God are yes and amen. They're inherited by faith and patience. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing means perpetually.
Amen.
This is not a one-time thing. Well, I did read it back in 73, and God didn't come through. You understand? The world that we live in, man, everything is so arrayed against us. It's not just the culture. There's an enemy. You know, America, we have a saying, seeing is believing, which is completely opposite to what the Bible says. You know,
amen.
You know, faith believes without seeing, right? What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not revealed by the senses. You understand? So how do we get to a place where we're believing what we can't see more than what we can see? I mean, listen, let's be straight up honest. The majority of Christians have far more faith in the doctor than they do Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
God, listen, you know what the Bible says? These signs follow those who believe. They lay hands on the sick, watch this. They recover. That, you understand? But our mind is not renewed to that. So what happens is we go into panic and all the rest, but you go to the doctor, and if the doctor says, oh, no, you no longer have this, you're like, oh, phew. Do you understand? Listen, I'm not knocking doctors. You understand? Praise God for good doctors. The beloved Luke was a doctor, wasn't he?
Amen.
Beloved physician, whatever. You know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the point is that our faith, you know, and some of you, even you're thinking right now, well, yeah, of course you have more faith in the doctor. That's an issue. They have more faith in what a human says and what God says, because what it reveals is we don't trust his character. We don't believe that he'll really do what he said he would do. And the reason why is because we don't hang out with him enough to develop the faith to understand his character. And you know, for God, he says, listen, what else do I got to do? You know what I mean? What else do I have? How else can I demonstrate, other than I put my own son on the cross, my commitment to this relationship? You understand what I'm saying to you? Is there anybody? So listen, faith comes by perpetually hearing by the word of God. Watch this. You sow the word continually. What does the Bible say? My son, pay attention to my words. Give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Incline your ear to hear them, right? You understand? So there needs to be a devotion to what God says. And when there's a devotion to what God says, and you go to bed, you get up, you go to bed, and you get up, you don't understand how, but the heart by itself produces faith.
Amen.
And listen, it doesn't take as long as you think. If you live in that place, you will find that your mind starts to get renewed And you know, the word's bouncing off your spirit to your mind. It's in your mouth. And you start, all of a sudden, you find yourself speaking the things that God says instead of speaking the problem, instead of speaking all the lack, instead of, you know, saying all the things that the devil says about you. You begin to start to say what God says about you. And when faith comes and the enemy comes against you, all of a sudden, you submit yourself to God because you're in the word. You draw a line, resist the devil, and the Bible said he flees from you. Are you with me? You got to get the word in your bones, man. The word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It affects all three parts of you, amen? So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now show me Psalm 1, please. I just want to show you some stuff in the scripture, okay? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's a process, by the way. You want to see that he's walking, then he's standing, and finally he sits down and begins to mock God. But his delight, watch this, is in the law, literally the Torah, okay, of the Lord. And in his law or in the word, he meditates. Everyone say meditate.
Meditate.
Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now the word meditate, here's what it means in the Hebrew. Here's a short definition of it in the Hebrew, okay? That to ponder by talking to yourself.
Amen.
That's what it literally means. When you meditate on the word, you're actually, it's a word picture. Hebrew is a pictorial language, and so often there's a word picture that comes with the scripture that you've read. So the word. So the word meditate in the Hebrew, here's what it is, the word picture. There's a cow, and he's chewing his cuds, okay? And he swallows them, and it goes into one stomach. It's slightly digested, and then it's spit up, and then he chews on it again, and then it continues this process, this digestive process. That's the word that the Holy Spirit chose so that you would understand, okay, what meditating day and night, you know what that means? When you're asleep, your spirit's still dealing with these things and talking to God. Your spirit never sleeps. Your flesh grows tired, but your spirit is perpetually awake and can be in communion with God. So give the Holy Spirit something to work with, you understand? So you put the word in you, and now you're chewing on it. You understand? It's not Eastern meditation, which is an attempt to empty yourself of everything, but it's Christian meditation where it's an attempt to fill yourself with God, fill yourself with the Word, to chew on the Word. It's completely opposite. So don't let that word throw you. It's just people in the English trying to find a word that kind of, you know, can give you an idea of what it means in the Hebrew. So the picture is chew on this word day and night. Now watch this. And then you're like a tree planted that brings forth its fruit in season. And whatever you do will prosper and have success. But first comes the chewing on the word. You understand? You can't reap a harvest where you haven't planted seed. So first comes the chewing, then comes the tree, then comes the fruit in season. You understand? Fruit comes in season. That's the patience of letting the fruit develop. We read in Mark chapter 4, you know, first came the, what was it? First the blade, then the head, then the full grain. That's the process of letting fruit develop as you're faithful to put the word in you.
Amen.
Is this helping anyone?
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you another scripture. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. What does that mean? Speak it. Listen, you have to know it's got to be in you to speak it. You know what I used to do when I would go through and still do, if I go through something, I get index cards and I write down all the scriptures and I carry them around with me and I pull them out 6 or 7 times a day and confess the scriptures out loud. You know, the enemy hates it. He didn't like the sword. What did Jesus do when the enemy came against him? It is written, it is written, it is written. You know, that's in the scriptures as an example. The Bible said these things are written down for us. So when the enemy's coming against you, you have to pull out the sword of the Spirit and say, no, it is written, it is written, it is written. When he's coming and he's saying, you're this, you're that, and all these things are going to happen and all the rest, you go, no, it says here, with long life will you satisfy me and show me his salvation. I will live and not die. I will live and declare the works of God. You understand? You have to start to, you know, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways, and my pathway is life, healing, and health, and there is no death. You have to start to declare the word. Take up the sword of the Spirit. You'll find you stick him with it a little bit. He leaves. Three times Jesus hit him with that sword and he took off.
Amen.
So what does he say? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. You know, you're about to go in to this promised land and you're going to have to fight all these battles and wars and these enemies, and you're going to lead all these people. You're going to have enemies in the front, enemies behind you. You're going to have a difficult situation. Moses, my servant, is dead. You're the man now. Here's how you're going to be successful. Never stop speaking what I say. Meditate, look on it, day and night, same word, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Look at this. Then, you want to circle that in your Bibles. Then you'll be prosper and successful. So what do we have? All the promises of Christ are yes and amen, right? That's the prosperous and successful. But before that, what was there? There was a meditating day and night on the things of God. You want to meditate on something? Meditate on the blood. Hang out in the perpetual jubilee. Understand that there was a day of atonement. Understand that Jesus from the cross said, "It's finished." You understand? It is accomplished. Everything that was necessary happened so that people could be set free, so the oppressed could go free, that slaves could go free, that bodies can be healed. I mean, it's amazing to me that people will argue till you're blue in the face about God's will to heal people and then read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts, and that's all you see. How do we know it's God's will? Well, we see the leper come running down off the top of the hill, off the Sermon on the Mount. This unclean man who's not even supposed to be in the midst of all the people. And he comes to Jesus, gets down on the ground and says, "If you're willing, you can make me free, make me whole." And Jesus said, "I am willing." Not only said that, but touched him,
Glory.
The leper. And the guy was healed. You understand leprosy, parts of your body fall off. Dean used to say the problem with leprosy is you can only play pull my finger one time. It's a terrible joke. It's a terrible joke. It's not my joke. I'm just repeating. I know, it's so bad, right? Yeah. I know, yeah. So, I know, isn't that terrible? It's not my joke. I'm just repeating. So literally, stuff grew back on the guy. Listen, when Jesus touched him, stuff grew back. It said he was made whole right then. You understand what I'm saying? And Jesus said, "Are you willing?" Yes. And that's in there. And Jesus healed them all. Why? Atonement. So we start to wonder, well, does this count for me? No good thing will he withhold from those people that are upright. You understand? All the promises in Christ and his atonement, all the promises in his blood are yes and amen. You understand? They're obtained through faith and patience. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Got to put the word in you. Got to chew on it. Got to eat it like a cow chews its cuds. And you go to bed and you get up and you go to bed and you get up and you don't understand how this process is happening. But this living word is producing faith inside of you. And the moment comes when you start to believe what you can't see.
Amen.
And you know the Bible says in that moment you're actually pleasing the Lord. Because he did this great thing for us. Don't be sluggish, the scriptures say. Don't be lazy, the scriptures say. Actually take up the sword. You know, make room for the word of God in our lives. Otherwise, we live in a panic, not in patience. Now, statement. Patience is a fruit that is developed as you faithfully sow the word and continue to hear the truth. One more time. Patience is a fruit that is developed as you faithfully sow the word and continue to hear the truth. Amen. Remember in Psalm 1, I've been preaching a little bit, I'll slow down a little bit for you, okay? Remember in Psalm 1 that the tree would bring forth fruit in season, right? And remember the crop, first the blade, then the head, then the full ear. So there's this process that happens. You know, our problem is when we're in a panic, we want the answer immediately. God's already said yes, but he's described for us the process that we need to go through. Now watch this. This is how you give the Holy Spirit something to work with as you go from chaos to order, is the Holy Spirit is hovering and you continually sow the word. This is you beginning to cultivate your situation, to deal with your situation. And you know what happens? The moment that you begin to cultivate through the word, grace comes.
Lord.
You didn't have to do this in your own strength. You know, in fact, I've been feeling like the Holy Spirit's telling me grace is actually released through the word. Understand? When you begin to take up the sword of the Spirit, what the word says, grace. Because you can't do that in your own strength. You can't fight the stuff that you got to fight in your own strength. But I'm telling you, every person here, there's no one that is left out. The year of Jubilee is for everyone. Jesus said, I came to proclaim that acceptable year of the Lord, that perpetual Jubilee that would cause joy to every man because freedom's been made available to all of us through the blood.
Amen.
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 All right. One more scripture. John 8:31. I'm just showing you a recurring theme in the scriptures. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then, basically, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So do you see the same process? In Psalm 1 with David, in Joshua, okay, and now New Testament, Jesus speaking here, they're all saying the same thing. First live in the word, then comes the fruit, then comes the blessing, then comes the success, then comes the prosperity, then comes the healing, then comes the freedom. You understand? What did he say? See, the word know there is the root word of what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, thank you. Yes, know, knowledge. Know is the root word of knowledge. Watch this. You shall have knowledge, verse 32, of the truth. When? When you abide in the word. Okay, so when you abide in the word, you get knowledge of the truth. And once you get knowledge of the truth, that knowledge of the truth, that real reality established in heaven by the blood brings freedom.
Glory.
So our problem is, as the church, I started this off by saying, I don't think we're hearing. Because we've been living in a perpetual panic, hoping that God comes through as if he's not trustworthy. And the only reason for that is that we're not meditating day and night in what his word says. I'm going to get a drink of water while you guys just let that sink in for a minute. For me, this is very exciting. You mean all I have to do? Yeah. That's it. So I just take the word, yeah. It'll work for me, yes. Even though I'm not Italian, sure. First the Jew, then the Greek. Listen to me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
That's exactly what we're talking about, right? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, so it's like I've heard stories about after the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation and slaves were set free, that there were people that lived as slaves the rest of their life and they had never had any idea. It's as if that you've been in a cage and the door has been open and you are begging God, please, 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 let me out of this cage. What did Jesus say? I'm the door.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm the good shepherd. You shall go out to green pastures, still waters, restoration of soul. But how does that produce? You know, listen, there are times where there's a move of God. There are times when there are miracles. You understand? But we have found the prescription in the word. Eat the word, meditate on it, chew it day and night. What's the byproduct? He said, it'll be sweet. When you eat this, it'll be sweet to you. Amen. This revelation produces a sweetness. All of a sudden, this faith starts rising up in you and like, ah, oh, I've been being deceived.
Amen.
Jonah, you want to talk about how this stuff works? Jonah, in the belly of the whale, began to call his situation lying vanities. It doesn't get any more real than that. He began to deny that stuff and sing the praises of God, quote the scriptures that David had quoted during his stuff, all your waves and billows have washed over me. And he began to quote the scriptures and literally sing to God and deny the right of the circumstances that he was in to have authority over him. And the whale spit him up on dry land. Come on, you need to have preemptive faith because when you get in the panic, it's hard.
Amen.
I don't deny the reality of how hard it can be when you're going through stuff. And I know that personally. But I tell you, you've got to cling to the Scripture. You have to go and find out what the Word says. You have to dig, the Bible says, like you dig for silver and gold. You know, you've got to put some sweat equity into valuing this Word. Jesus would tell parables, and many people would come to hear him, and they're like, man, I have no idea what that means. Let's go home and eat. It's really weird. He's talking about birds and thorns and stuff. But the disciples, they followed him when everybody else went away. And they wanted to know, tell us what it means. I mean, I love this. You could picture the conversation. Look, I asked him last time. You ask him this time. It's like somebody goes up next to him like, Jesus, you got a minute? Great sermon today. Awesome. Some of the guys, they were wondering if you explained to us what it means. You shall know the truth. But he said, if you abide in my words, you're a disciple. See, disciples press in. You know what Jesus said? He revealed the parable, but then he said this. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Amen. And people read that and they're like, oh no, God's going to lay all my junk out there for everybody. That's not what that means. You have to read context. He's saying, when you're a disciple, that God will bring you on the inside and he's not hiding anything.
Amen.
What did he say? There's secret things that belong to God, but what's revealed belongs to us. Dig into the Scriptures and recognize, you know what? I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm no longer a slave.
Amen.
But I've come through that sea. That junk that was coming after me has been drowned in perfect love. I have been redeemed. It is a perpetual jubilee. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. And what the Scriptures say belong to me, belongs to me in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, so listen. Here's what we need to do. Part of our process here of renewing our mind and letting us go from the hovering of the Holy Spirit back to order is this. And it involves, on our part, a little bit of repenting. Would you repent with me today?
Amen.
Amen. And then Angela's going to come, I think, and do announcements. Somebody get this out of the way, please. Can you stand to your feet? Rachel, could you come play keys just for a moment? Listen, repentance, all it really means is you change your mind. That's all it means. David said, I thought about my ways, I made haste, and I went the other way. The prodigal son, perfect example of repentance. Bring those lights down just a bit, please. Is that he's feeding the pigs food, and he's like, you know what? I don't like the circumstances I find myself in. I'm changing my mind. I'm turning around. I'm going to go in a different direction. That's all repentance is. You know, part of us receiving this message is acknowledging that we can do a more faithful, diligent job of giving honor to God's word and clinging to it and eating it and finding out that it's sweet and believing what God says. The Bible says, let God be proved true and every man a liar. We need to make a decision that we're going to ask God to give us the grace to put the word in us so that we trust him more than we trust flesh.